Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning. I'm Jeff Greenfield, joined today by our regular contributors, Joe Nocera with the New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. Now, even if you're not listening to us while waiting to get into Walmart or Costco, you likely know that today marks the annual shopping binge known as Black Friday. But as shoppers look for tags with best prices, are they also looking for another tag, the one that says Made in America? Well, according to a new study from the Boston Consulting Group, the answer is yes, and they're even willing to pay more for American-made goods. Joe Nocera, as this holiday season gets rolling, do you think consumers really care where something is made?
I don't think American consumers actually do care. The thing that's interesting about the studies about Made in America is they all are about what people say they do as opposed to what they actually do. And it makes perfect sense that in the economy that we're in, people will jump up and down and say, I'm buying Made in America. It matters to me. But when they're actually in the store, they don't. And this country really has historically been perfectly willing to put small stores out of business and replace them with the likes of Walmart and Costco's and so on, for the very simple reason that the Walmarts of the world offer the best price.
But, you know, it's interesting because in that same study, they found that the Chinese will pay more for American goods when it comes to things like safety and quality. And you can believe it. You know, a few years back, there was a big tainted milk scandal where one of the premium brands of milk, Chinese-made baby formula, was found to be tainted with lead. And, you know, consumers just dropped immediately off buying Chinese consumer goods and started buying goods made from Johnson & Johnson and Procter & Gamble. And those goods still have a cachet, as do, of course, many American and even European luxury brands in China. But I think that in emerging markets, there is something about the idea that if it's made in America, maybe you're probably not going to get lead in it, that is compelling.
Does it matter what kind of consumer good we're talking about then? That maybe people don't care about an iPhone, but they'll care a lot about something like, you know, something that is perishable or consumable?
Absolutely. And you can see that there are surveys that have been done in these markets showing that, yeah, things that go in that have anything to do with their children, things that go in your mouth, they're willing to pay more for, and that safety is at a premium, which is a competitive advantage for American manufacturers.
You know, Jeff, people also are willing to pay more for brands. And Americans do. America does have an enormous number of powerful brands, like Nike, for instance. And so, you know, that's where you have the type of consumer where you know, price is no object. I have to get those $300 pair of Air Jordan shoes.
So this raises a question, a broader question that we've talked about on this segment before, and that is, Ronnie, you've made the point that consumers tend to be more optimistic about the economy while the corporations have been less so. Could this holiday shopping season resolve that conflict one way or the other?
Well, you know, I've been really interested that consumers don't seem to be thinking about, for example, the tax consequences of the fiscal cliff. They are still spending. The numbers are still pretty good. Companies aren't. Now, at a certain point, those lines are going to intersect. And if companies continue to batten down the hatches into the new year and they're not hiring, and so unemployment starts to either tick up or at least stay flat, incomes are flat, I think you are going to see a dip down in consumer spending. But perhaps through the holidays, folks can remain optimistic.
Also, Jeff, this is Black Friday or whatever it's called, and there are always hordes of people at the stores, and there are always stories about the optimism of the shopping season based on this first big day. And for the last 3 or 4 years that I can remember, you know, ultimately it's a flat year or a slightly down year, and so don't be fooled by what happens today.
When we talk about consumers, that's a broad brush. Does it matter whether we should be looking more at rich folks or very well-off folks as opposed to the broader middle class that may not be doing so well in terms of driving this economic growth we're hoping for?
Well, if you look at who retailers are looking at, it's increasingly the wealthy. I mean, you can see this in the retail landscape. Even before the financial crisis and recession, the wealthy did a disproportionate amount of spending relative to the size of, you know, the 5% or the 1% or whoever you're talking about. And that's only increased in the last 4 years. They are doing a larger and larger percentage of overall spending. They still can't make up for the fact that the other 95% are doing less than they did back in 2006, 2007. But if you look at the kinds of malls that are springing up, you know, the only ones that are coming online are catering to luxury consumers. Everything in the middle is going away, as it is in so many industries. And so it's becoming all about Walmart or about Tiffany's.
Let me turn to what we do every week and ask you about the stories that you'll be watching in the coming week once Black Friday ends. With me, Joe Nocera with the New York Times and Rana Farrujo with Time Magazine. Rana, we'll start with you.
Well, like everybody, I've been thinking a lot about the fiscal cliff and whether or not we're going to have a deal on that by the end of the year. There's been a lot of optimism. The markets rose with the beginning of negotiations a few days ago, but I'm feeling a little more pessimistic, and I'll tell you why. If you look at what's going on in the House of Representatives at a granular level, the number of crossover districts has actually fallen from about 42 to 24. So the number of representatives that really have the impetus to reach across the aisle is actually lower than it was previously. Also, I'm not sold on the fact that Republicans as a whole have bought into higher taxes for the wealthy despite some conciliatory statements. I think that what you may see is we go over the cliff for a couple of weeks so that the Republicans can start talking about lowering taxes on the middle class as opposed to hiking them on the rich.
I beg to differ, Rana. I am actually optimistic for the first time in quite a while about the fiscal cliff. I mean, the election does mean something, and statewide races for Senate, Tea Party candidates got beat. Obama won. He talked a lot about imposing new taxes on the rich. And the truth of the matter is that the country is sick of the inability of Washington to do anything. And if that inability, if that continues, it seems to me the Republicans in the House particularly run the grave danger of losing the House of Representatives to the Democrats 2 years from now, and I think they know that.
Okay, over the fiscal cliff and through the woods to grandmother's house we go in the interest of the holiday season. But indeed, once we stop singing, we will be watching those stories and indeed all the week's financial news, and we'll be watching it at WNYC.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast available for free on iTunes. I'm Jeff Greenfield. This is Money Talking from WNYC. Thank you for listening.